You're listening to the Christian Indie Artist and Songwriters Podcast, the place where faith, music, and life intersect. We exist to help Christian indie artists and songwriters just like you get songs heard. Hey, I'm here with my friend Olivia Lane coming to us live from Nashville, Tennessee. How's it going this morning, Olivia?
I'm so good. It's a beautiful day here, and I'm coming up on some vacation, so I'm really, really excited about that.
Well, like we were saying before, I actually came across your TikTok and saw that you're doing some great content, so I definitely want to get into all that as we go, but let's start at the beginning. Where did you get into music in the first place? Where did it all start for you?
Yeah, well, so my mom was actually a Texas regional country singer. I'm from Houston, Texas, and she comes from a musical family. I mean, my grandmother and my aunt, man, my mom's whole family, they just are so musical. And on my dad's side too, we've got a couple dancers. So I think it was in my blood to just be a creative type. Really, my mom, when she was a young 20-year-old, she pursued music. She was in a bunch of different bands around Texas. Her and my dad actually met in high school, and then they broke up for a little bit, and then they got back together when she was kind of in the thick of her career. So my dad actually saw a lot of what she went through. They got married super young, came to Nashville, did the whole thing. So I feel like when I started showing interest in being this musical kid, they were like, oh my goodness, we've seen this, we know this path. And they just equipped me with all of the music. There was always music playing in the house. I mean, my mom made sure that I was listening to all the greats like Carole King, Frank Sinatra, Aretha Franklin, Reba. Like, she just made sure that I was listening to really, really great music all the time. And slowly but surely, when I was old enough, like, it was karaoke places and it was the studio. She would let me go to the studio with her, or she would just really guided me through this musical journey of accepting that I loved music and there was a path for me to do that. But I also was a very theatrical kid. I did a lot of theater, so I loved musical theater. I started playing guitar when I was in eighth grade and kind of dabbled in it a little bit, but became more serious when I was about 16. I kind of took off in so many different directions as a creative. I feel like a lot of creatives, we like to do a lot of artistic things. You know, it's not just songwriting or singing or theater. It's all of it. So yeah, I just was like a musical explosion as a child, and my sister got everything else. She's like super smart, all the brains, like to read a lot of books. I was like the performance, look at me, singer girl.
Well, it sounds like it was totally Brit. And I love that your parents had that experience, you know, because a lot of, a lot of situations is like, you know, parents are on the whatever engineering route. They're like, music, isn't that something you just do for fun on the side? Yeah. But your parents had a legit way. And I love that they're like exposing you intentionally to the greats, like you said. It's not so that way it was built into your DNA. I mean, I think about that with my kids too. Like, whatever they're listening to now will be those songs that I think about from my childhood. So I try to carefully consider that. I mean, not overly, but you know. So I love that your parents kind of did that for you. And then Texas is where you kind of cut your teeth and started doing that. But then to LA, which is like, you know, a huge music haven, and now Nashville. So what brought you to LA? Was it a family move, or you mentioned school as well? So what got you over that way?
Yeah, well, it was a family move, but it was because I begged for about 6 months to move to Los Angeles. I was growing up in the time where I saw girls like Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, all of these girls from Texas moving to Los Angeles and being on the Disney Channel. I was like, that's where we got to go. We got to go to LA. At the time, I thought I really wanted to do acting because I was super into musical theater, and I didn't really know being a songwriter was a trajectory yet. And thank goodness Taylor Swift came along, because when she started popping, I was like, wait, as a young person, you can move to Nashville and make this happen for yourself. So LA was the first path that really illuminated for me and made sense to me. And I look back on that and I'm just like, I was comfortable, and I was like a 15-year-old sophomore. Like, why would I just uproot my entire life and move to Los Angeles? But I was just such a big dreamer that I couldn't see myself staying in Houston, because I was like, well, I mean, I've done commercials, I've done theater, I'm getting good parts. Like, I got to be in the big leagues, right? So I begged my parents, my mom went with me, and then my dad went back and forth. And again, a testament to how much they believed in me, because that is a crazy thing for a whole family to be uprooted from a place that they're super comfortable in and to help their daughter achieve their dreams. Got to Los Angeles, did 2 years of high school out there, which was amazing. I met some amazing friends, and the stakes were raised. You know, like, I thought I was coming in with all this talent, and those 6 to 7 years out there was like a bunch of failure. Mm-hmm. Like it was just horrible audition after horrible audition and just so many mistakes made just in my personal life, in my career, just learning the hard way. That's honestly all I can amount to it. It was just learning the hard way. I was not ready. I got an agent and I just totally bombed so many auditions. It was so soul sucking, to be honest. Mm. When I went to college out there at USC, I was going after a songwriting minor and I was a theater major and a songwriting minor. And my whole life just totally, my sophomore year of college, it all just shifted because I started taking guitar super seriously. I'd written a couple songs. Obviously, they were trash because I hadn't written that many songs. And the songs were good enough to know that I might have something here. You know, like there was enough to work with for me to be like, oh, wait a minute, I could go to Nashville. So honestly, like I did the exact same thing. I was just like, I've got to go to Nashville. I'm done with LA. And my parents just, of course, having whiplash. But obviously not surprised. They're like, okay, she's got to go to Nashville. So I had a change of heart from acting to songwriting. And that was a pretty big shift for me in 2013 from going from playing parts to figuring out who I was. And then I just went on this journey of figuring out who I truly was and rediscovered God. And man, my whole life changed when I got to Nashville.
So 2013. So I saw on Spotify, at least, it looked like you started releasing music in 2015. So yeah. That 2 year period of Nashville. So what was that like from going, cause yeah, that's a major shift from like playing parts to learning how to play parts on and write parts and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Totally different side of your brain. But two, because of all those music that was pumped into you through your whole life, you had that there. Of course, that's a God-given thing to where, you know, you can write a song and be like, oh, good, keep it up. But like you said, you knew there was something there to develop and chase. So what was that journey like first 2 years in Nashville until you started putting stuff out there?
Well, it was a lot of trial and error and a lot of co-writing. I hadn't done a lot of co-writing and I had to get used to that, which was, again, as a young writer, you're trying to find your voice, but you're also trying to listen as well. Like you're trying to figure out how much of me do I put out here? How much of me is too much? You know, like I feel like I spent a lot of my life being a lot, like a lot of energy, a lot of too much, like, oh my goodness, you're just way too much. And so when I was in the Nashville writing room, it was almost like I had to figure out who I could trust. You know, as a co-writer, you're always looking for people that understand your brain, who get you. And man, there was a lot of, again, it was just a lot of failure, but a lot of valuable learning lessons along the way through that failure. I mean, I had a guy once tell my, I had a manager at the time and they were like, you need to tell your artist to just be quiet. Like she just doesn't, like you need to tell her to shut up essentially. And I was just like, and who would tell an artist to do that? Like if an artist has a vision, who would do that? Like, that's just so mean. But it's just little things like that and experiences like that, that shape you and form you and add fuel to your fire. Because at the end of the day, I obviously can't shut up because I'm the artist. And like, why are you, you know, like, why are we here if I'm not the artist trying to figure out what my clear vision is on what to say? Can you imagine somebody telling Taylor, I mean, sure, so many people told Taylor Swift, like, you just need to shut up. Like, no one cares about your voice. And she was like, nope, screw that. I'm just going to find people who understand my brain. But you go through all of those things as an artist. You're just trying to, you're bumping your head on coffee table corners, just trying to grow and learn. You're like this infant. So I just, it was a trial and error period. And I feel like I was blessed with some people who took me under their wing and helped me write some pretty great songs. And the songs were good enough to take on the road. So I got on the road as soon as I could. I did an independent radio tour, which ended up being an interesting time. Yeah, it just kind of led me to actually a breaking point that made me become an even better artist. So I think when I first got to Nashville, I was chasing what everyone else was doing. And essentially that broke me. I was chasing what this person was doing or what this girl was doing or what people were saying about this girl was working. So I was trying to chase what was working. And I just put myself in a box when I should not have done that. But of course, those things always lead you to an even greater renaissance. You know, like it leads you to a place where you just hit a wall and you're like, I've been chasing something that's not me for so long. I think it's time to get to know who I am actually as a person.
Almost every episode that we've done, people talk about, you know, the comparison game, the imposter syndrome thing. So it sounded like you basically slammed straight into that you know, yeah. So as much as you're willing to go into that, like, what are some things that kind of, for one, help you recognize that, wow, I don't want to chase somebody else's dream? And two, how did you kind of regroup from that? Because the thing is, like you said, in LA, like, you did a lot of things, experienced a lot of failure, but, like, what, I don't know what failure is. To me, failure is abstract. It's just like a change of direction. It's not really like a fit. You're not dying. You know, you just, that didn't work. So it's like, whatever, yeah. But you got a super concentrated thing, because you went to the biggest, I mean, you went from Texas, which is a great music town, but you went to LA, which is like the biggest pond there is, you know, LA, New York, and Nashville. You've lived in both of those now, experienced a lot in a short period of time, relatively speaking. So when you hit that wall, you know, your breaking point there, how did you recognize that? And then two, like, what did you do to pick up the pieces to start kind of going on your own path?
Yeah, well, I fell victim to, if you don't deal with what's going on inside, it's going to manifest physically.
Yeah.
It will.
Yeah.
And I'm a testament to that, because I was going so hard. I mean, 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night, sleeping in vans, driving from town to town, playing for nobody in the middle of West Virginia, like, literally the most soul sucking types of shows, and you know, paying my dues, cutting my teeth, whatever you want to say. As a young 20-year-old woman, feeling like I was kind of just floating out there on my own, I think it was important for me, but I also got to the point where I started losing my voice. And simultaneously, at the same time, I was like, what am I doing with my life? Like, it's been 2 years of playing to nobody. It's been, you know, it's like the highest of highs. Some days you get those playing for 9,000 people, and then the next day you're literally playing for the waiter in the bar back. It's like the most highs of highs and lows of lows you can possibly imagine, and barely breaking even, like, you know, trying to get this career going and not being successful at it after a while, you know, financially, however the world, you know, makes you feel. Yeah. Like, but I had to make money, you know, like, I had to figure out something for myself. And I just remember being in rehearsal, and I, like, went for this high note, and it wasn't there. And then that happened again and again. And it's like little chinks off my vocal cords just started to disappear. And that was pretty terrifying. So I basically had to tell my entire team, guys, like, I can't keep going. Like, I got to stop. And that's also, like, at that point I had to make a business decision, which sucked as a 24, 5-year-old woman, having to, like, take people off the payroll because I wasn't going to be making any money, and I had to take care of myself. And then I remember being out at a bar, and I remember I started getting weird around people. Like, I had never felt out of my body. Like, why does no one want to talk about what I want to talk about? Or why do I feel weird around people? So then I was like, okay. So if I'm going to go to vocal therapy, why don't I just try everything? I tried acupuncture. Tarot cards. I tried everything, like, just crazy things. But really the winning combo for me was vocal therapy and then just regular therapy. I realized there was a lot in my past that I needed to fix. There was a lot of unhealthy places I was living from and acting from. And really, like, it just, like, was logically figuring out, oh, I react to things like that because of this past experience. That's incorrect, and I need to fix that. I had a lot of mental scripts, negative mental scripts. I mean, it was like, I didn't realize how mean I was being to myself, like waking up, telling myself I'm ugly, telling myself I'm not talented. I didn't know why at the time, but then as I started doing a lot of deep therapy, I realized a lot went back to my childhood. And we all have our wounds. We all have our traumas. We all have our places that we act from that are unhealthy, because we live in a broken world. We live in a flawed world. As I was doing vocal therapy and mental therapy, basically, those two together, I mean, it led me down a path that I found God. And it's interesting. Sometimes I tell people, like, oh, I found God again. I was raised Methodist, but I never understood that you could actually have a relationship with God. So I don't think I ever was by the book, on paper, I was a Christian, but I don't ever think I was a Christian, because I never really understood what God was, you know? And then I moved to LA and the wheels fell off the wagon, and I definitely was an atheist out there, but I met the real God. My therapist basically was like, your atheism is getting in the way of more healing for you. You need to figure out what your spiritual life is, because that's a healthy human, a spiritual bubble, emotional, logical, and physical. And I got to a point where I was like doing pretty good on the logical, emotional, and physical, but my spiritual bubble was non-existent. And she pushed me for a long time and I said no. And then finally I bit the bullet and I was like, fine, I'll just figure this out for myself. Maybe it's just the universe, or maybe it's, you know, I don't know. And as I was doing my research, just kept coming back to Jesus, had a crazy visual encounter with Jesus. And from that day on, I could not believe anymore. Wow. That was pretty wild. Yeah. And it changed the trajectory of my career. I basically had to rebuild from that point on.
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing all that, because I know that's some deep stuff, you know, that's,
yeah.
But
I'm a deep well. I love getting deep. People need to like cut me off. They're just like, okay, Olivia, it's too much. I'm like,
I love it. I appreciate the honesty and vulnerability, because I mean, that's real life. You know, like you went to these places where you were able to act your way through it. And of course, yep. I'm sure a part of being a good actress is being able to compartmentalize, obviously.
Yes.
And so since you were great at that as a kid, that was probably your go-to, and that got you through a lot of things. But then, like you said, you had that moment at the bar where you're like, why is everything so weird? And that was probably a panic attack, you know, is what I would imagine, you know, because I definitely deal with those things quite a bit myself. So I understand that. And even vocally, like I went through an extremely stressful period, and all of a sudden when I'd sing, my voice would crack or whatever. And it's like, dude, I do vocal warm-ups every single day. Like, what's happening now? So you lose your confidence, you know, and then you're thinking about, okay, when I go to hit that note, it's not going to be there. So might as well not try it. And then it keeps going, like you said, down the scale. Next thing you know, you lose confidence in the thing that you love, and you feel like you're just spiraling. You're like, what's happening? So then it goes deeper and deeper. So I totally understand that process, you know? And so I feel that. And I know a lot of people feel that too. They just maybe have never said it or don't know what that is. So I love that you're able to articulate that in such a clear way, you know? So, but then Jesus. So then, that obviously, you know, you're releasing music in 2015. You're probably going through all of that during that period, or what was that like?
2015. So I had my encounter with Jesus in 2018. So all the way from 13 to 2018, like there was no, I think I had some God in my songs, but it was like, people sing about God in country music, so let's put it in there. You know, like it was, again, playing the part. I was really good at playing the part. It destroyed me. Like it was the fake. It was the trying to be something that I wasn't and doing it from a very inauthentic place that ultimately like destroyed me. But I think now looking back on my life and how my heart was so hardened to God, his hand was so in my life. Even when I didn't want to believe in him, like he was so there. And I'm so glad I got to a breaking point. Like, I'm so glad he allowed for my voice to go away. I'm so glad that he did that, because it was such a refining, goodness, like 2 or 3 years, because it changed the trajectory of my music. It made me go deeper. It made me push myself to really figure out who I was and really ultimately who he wanted me to be, because I was just so done playing the part. I was so done. It was too exhausting.
That's so good. And that's where the real songs come from, you know?
Yes.
But also too, like not just like brushing off the prior 20 plus years. I mean, all of that is a part of what you're doing now, of course. But like when you can articulate through song those real experiences and those legit encounters, not just what sounds right, you know, or not what could be cool. Like then you don't even care, because you just feel like you have to get this message out there, because that's what you're here to do. And then people resonate with it because it's real, you know?
Right.
So with 2018, did you start releasing like faith-based songs or writing, or like, what was that like?
No, what's really interesting is I thought it was just going to be like God is in my life and he's with me. I kind of, again, as a still a new believer, I was lucky because I was instantly discipled as soon as I was saved. I mean, I got into like three or four Bible studies that I'm still in. I had people around, I mean, God was putting people in my life. My vocal coach, Steve, meeting Steve Fee, the producer of Woman at the Well. I mean, I met him on Songland, and it was just God's hand. I mean, he did not waste any time. God just like wanted to deliver. He wants to give, and he wants to give abundantly. And like, he just took people from my life and re-injected my life with people that I needed to be discipled by. And my first song that I put out, I would categorize, was You Got Me. And that song is still my biggest song. That song has taken me all over the world. And I'm so blessed that that was kind of the first song that, you know, I had the word prayer or pray and then faith and like all of these kind of little nuances of a spiritual life started to trickle into my music. And man, after seeing that kind of first initial taste of a song going beyond just me pushing it, like it took off, took a life of its own. I was like, I want more of that. I want more of that. And I want more of that truthfulness and more of that. I don't know. It's like a feeling that you see when you see a song explode that's so beyond you. The next one was Hey 3 AM. And that was a song that I felt so vulnerable, like writing. I mean, it was just, but again, it was that, like you said, that fire of like, I have to get this message out. Like I know people are struggling and I have to get this message out because I needed it. I know someone else needs it. Those moments became like the setting the bar for what my songs needed to be. You know, like it had to either have that, that kind of deep universal healing something flavor that I kept uncovering on my, on my EP, The One. And then all of that came out in 2019. And then like, after that, I was trying to figure out like what my, what I was going to say next. Cause I hadn't really talked about my spiritual walk because I was in the thick of it. I mean, I was just like, God was working and shaping and shifting. And I was kind of overwhelmed. Like I was just like, oh my goodness, like what is happening? God, you're like taking so many people out of my life. And I'm just trying to figure out what, who you are and what's happening. And I like, I was kind of like trying to figure out if I was needed to be part of a church. Like I was, I knew nothing. I mean, like other than memorizing John 3:16, which was like, you know, what we had to do for confirmation, I knew nothing about God or any, you know, like I was just like, whatever. So it was just like a renaissance of learning, but it was a really tough time because I was loving the art I was making, but I also, but my personal life was a mess because it was just like, I was lonely. Like I truly resonated with the, you know, sometimes God takes people out of your life and puts you in a season of loneliness so you'll depend on him, you know? And that's exactly what happened for me. And I'm so glad, again, I'm glad he did it, but it was a tough time, but it led me to, so 2020, the pandemic hits, right? And we're all trying to reason what is going on in the world?
Everything's fine, but it's not.
Everything's falling apart, but we're fine. It's fine. But I just got closer to God. Like it, during 2020, it just was a, I'm so grateful because I finally got to the point where I feel like I had let God into all the aspects of my life, except my music. And I was like, okay, God, you know, you've delivered on so many different things in my life and I've seen your hand working. I'm ready to just give you my career. I don't care. I literally got to the point where I was like, I don't care if I'm even supposed to be in music anymore. Like just tell me what I'm supposed to do because your plan is so much better than anything that I could ever think up for me. And you know, I was like, even if it's like an engineer, I don't care. And I was like, I hope it's not an engineer because like literally I'd be terrible at that. But just please let it be music because I'm really good at it and I want to be better at it. But anyway, so luckily it was still music. But then I just begged him to come and prayed. I mean, I prayed every day during the pandemic for him to come into my music and into my career. And slowly but surely, he put people in my life. He put songs in my mind. He gave me ideas and that's how Woman at the Well and my song, I Let the Devil In, like I wrote, I Let the Devil in June of 2020. And then Woman at the Well was September, 2020. And I was like, okay, time to start talking about Jesus. Let's go.
Here we come.
Here we come.
I love it though. Like it's this slow, a couple things. I mean, you said so much great stuff there, you know, the surrender process, but also the pruning process, you know,
like yeah.
pruning is, it's literally like the cutting off of dead things, which,
yes.
you know, we like to decorate ourselves with pretty stuff, you know, like we love these cool relationships we have or these cool experiences we had, but a lot of times those are literally weighing us down from moving into where God's calling us. So when we cut off those things, it hurts, but also it creates space for new growth, you know? And like you said, you started putting out music once you're having this personal revelation, and then stuff starts going further than you could ever imagine. But yeah. I love it. It's like, because God is like ahead of us, he's plowing the field ahead of us that we don't even know about yet. So he's yeah. getting your music out to the masses in a way you've never experienced, creating this great channel for when Women in the Well and I Let the Devil In starts to drop, because those people are ready and hungry for new things. And you're able to share this new message of hope that's kind of happening for you in real time, which honestly is like the best time to share, because you don't have it all figured out. It's not like, well, this is what you do and then your life is amazing. It's like, yeah. no, this is what's happening to me right now. It's freaking me out, but here we go, you know? Right. So like it connects, right?
Yes, it's the transparency. And that was something that I did not do early on in my career, because I'd gotten by enough, you know, like I didn't yeah. have to be fully authentic. I didn't have to be transparent. I just had to perform. And right. when I started letting go of the characters and the boxes I'd put myself in for so long, oh, the freedom, but freedom, you know, comes at a cost. You got to work for it. You got to work right. to get back to that place in you that God created you to be when you, like, you know, were a little kid. It's like so crazy that the world takes a hold of you and you just, you go down this path and you lose yourself and you find yourself. And it's such a blessing that if you really lean into it, if you lean into the process, it's such a gift on the other side. But you're right. It's the pruning and the seeds are, I don't even know what God is planning for me 5 years from now. It's like, I just am trying to, he just wants us to take the next right step. You know, it's like, yeah. Lord, just be the lamp to my feet and just guide my step by step. And I will let you take care of the long term, you know, what have you, because you've got my plan all figured out. And just, I pray that you give me discernment to know the right doors to walk through. And, but yeah, it's like looking back to 2015, had I waited to put out music until now, where it's like, I feel like I'm in my zone, that would have been the wrong move. Like I tell a lot of young artists, like, just put something out there and see what happens, because you're going to either make a mistake or you'll fail or it'll be great. Regardless, you're going to learn something about you and you're going to learn something about your career and what you actually want to do. So if you're proud of it right now in the moment and you're doing the best you can, put it out there and see what happens. Because if I didn't start in 2015, I would not have gotten to this clarity. And I would not have gotten to the place where I finally feel like the music is right and the roots are right. And you know, it's even like talking about my journey on TikTok. Like, I was not comfortable doing that until like recently. You know, it's like I've gotten to this point where I'm so refined by being super transparent about my story, probably almost yeah. to a fault, but it's like, that's what people want to see. Like that's, they want to see the nitty gritty. They don't want to see just the facade anymore. We're past that. We're past the mystery yeah. of all of that. So, and people are just struggling. That's really what it is. Like, especially with the pandemic, like people are just hungry for meaning and purpose. And cause I know I was like throughout my whole life and I looked for it in all the wrong things. I looked for it in drinking and men and drugs and all the things we all look for meaning for in, you know, it's just yeah. luckily came back to the true meaning, the true goat, Jesus Christ.
Because people crave authenticity because it's something to connect with, because they know, like, we're all looking, it's funny. Cause like through social media, it can be so, like, alone, you know, like you sitting in a room with your phone or staring into a ring light or whatever the heck, you know, we're doing these days. But like, people are craving, I mean, yeah, we love to laugh, you know, we love to go through the TikTok feed and see hilarious things, of course, you know, the entertainment value, but also the things that hit and get, you know, massive views sometimes are things that people are like, hey, like that encourages me, or, hey, I'm going through that. I'm sad too, because of that. It's real thing. So definitely wanted to talk about, like, you know, how have you brought and you, like you said, it's kind of a newer thing for you, but like into the TikTok world or social media landscape, like how have you kind of partnered your music along with, because the one thing that, I've definitely noticed with TikTok is like, if I just post me personally, and I may just not be any good, but just posting music stuff, people are not super interested. You know, they're interested in greater than just, here's my new song, check it out. They're like, okay, that's exactly 10 views, you know, whatever. But like, how have you kind of partnered that with your strategy and just your general feel? And when you're thinking about TikTok, social media, like what's your approach to it these days?
Yeah. Well, I will say that again, just like my journey and my fans of putting out inauthentic songs, people are smart. They can see through if you're not doing something from the heart or if you're enjoying yourself. So literally step number one of TikTok is do things you enjoy. Like don't try and be somebody else. Don't try and do someone else's funny. Do your own funny, you know, like, and that's the thing about TikTok. It's like, you don't know what's gonna take off. Like I'll upload a video that I think is fire and that I put 2 hours into and it gets no views. And it's like, okay, I can let that deter me and I can let that bring me down, but that's just the enemy at work. And I'm not going to do that. But then the next day I don't even think about a video because I'm like, I feel inspired to do it. And it's boom, it just takes off. Like you just, that's the thing about TikTok. Like it's, there's definitely a method to the madness. Like since January, I've probably been posting like 4 to 6 videos a day. And it's been truly exhausting, but it's paid off, but it's a bunch of testing. Like I'm still in a testing phase. I don't know what'll work. It's creativity. But I do think with my theater background, with my over the topness, you know, like my TikTok really works for me because it's just, I get to flex my acting. I get to be funny. I get to talk about my music and I get to be deep. Like I love being all of those colors. And TikTok for me personally, like I was just in the beginning, I was just trying to be funny and do things that I enjoyed and try to do it consistently. So I tried to be inspired, you know, for most of the day. But during the pandemic, I had time to do that because we all were bored and trying to figure out what our next step was in life. So I'm glad for silver lining of 2020 is that I had time to dive into TikTok and dive into what my voice was. But again, it's transparency and authenticity. Like it's, I was already on the path of doing so much work to find out who I was again, that I was starting to really get just honestly like powered up with in prayer and with the Holy Spirit and just asking God to come into my career. And like, what do you want my TikTok to be? I don't know. Like just being so open to Him guiding what I was supposed to talk about. And the music piece didn't really, a lot of people talk about on TikTok, be careful about when you go viral, because is it really what you want to be viral for? You know what I mean? Like when you go viral, you get an influx of fans, but had I gone viral for like a weird cooking video, I suck at cooking. I don't like it. It's not what I want to do. So why would I have nothing to serve these fans if all they want is cooking videos, right? So luckily, it was so fun. Like, honestly, I just feel like this is God's humor. Like I put my video out of my testimony and I went from like 60,000 fans to like 108. Like it was just wild. Like it was, the video is at like almost 6 million views now. And it's like so much hate. Like that was probably my first experience of like social media, dragging and hate, because like it, for some reason it like hit believers and then it hit atheists and then it hit Satanists. So it's like literally people came out to play and it was terrifying, but, it's, you know, it's like be intentional and do things on TikTok that you really actually enjoy to do. Like do things that you think are funny, study people, but at the end of the day, you have to do things that you enjoy doing. I mean, that's really it. That's how people are successful. There's no real method to the madness other than doing exactly what you want to do and what brings you joy. And the music piece for me, when that testimony video went viral, I was like, oh my goodness, God's already given me spiritual songs to push. Like the story made sense. And so when I uploaded Woman at the Well, boom, it took off, because it's just, I had this influx of believers/people questioning, and it just, again, like God just makes things make sense. You know, it's like, oh, okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. High five in the sky.
Yeah, exactly. Boom.
Yeah, there's so much there because, you know, we're all looking for, okay, what do I need to post? What trend do I need to do so that I can get, you know, huge? But like, just like what you said, the only way to sustain is to do what you love. Otherwise, you just don't care. You can fake it for a while. You could make 50 cooking videos if you really, really wanted to. But eventually, you're going to be like, I hate this. Right. I'm not doing this anymore. You know. So the most repeatable thing is the thing that we're most passionate about. You know. So like what you're saying is figure out how to do the thing that you would do anyways and then figure out how to like brand that and push it out. So like, what would you say, because this would probably be interesting for people, like what's the percentage of actual music posts to non-music posts on your, you know, obviously your people know you're a music artist, you know, but how much music are you actually putting out there?
Honestly, for probably the first 6 months, it was very, very rarely music. Mm. It was funny videos. I wasn't even really talking about my spiritual life much. Like I wasn't doing my I call them my deep talks. I wasn't doing any of that. And then again, it's like a testing period. It's like, okay, let me start talking about my testimony. Let me start talking about Jesus and see how people react. And I mean, it just like, I uploaded the video, I'll never forget, and like maybe 15 minutes later I checked back and it was like, what is happening? This is insane. This is crazy. Like it literally, it was my first viral moment. Like it just was like, you don't expect it because I was just trying to be truthful. I was trying to just honestly and openly talk about what I wanted to talk about. But then after, again, taking clues from what people want to hear on TikTok, it was in line with where my music was going. It was almost like God just illuminated the path. He's like, I've given you everything you need to do. So just be you and keep doing your thing and keep talking about me and keep talking about your testimony and keep talking about your music and how you got there. And I was like, okay, God, like I can do that all day. Where I struggle actually now is pushing my songs that aren't about God. I struggle talking about that stuff, even though I'm passionate about it and it's going to be on my record, like the songs that Woman at the Well, I Let the Devil In, You Got Me, like songs that feel like I can bring God back in, like to the picture, and I can talk about God and how he got me here and got me through a lot of my hard stuff. It's resonating with me right now. So I don't know. It's probably a lot heavier. The last 6 months, probably it's a little hack and trick from some TikTok people that I've got in my arsenal. They were like, if something hits, just keep reposting it. Keep reposting the music. Keep reposting the same video. There's tricks to the trade for sure. Yeah. But again, you can't replace authenticity with those tricks because the tricks are only there to just kind of bump it up even more so a little bit. But like the fruit has to be there. The goodness has to be there. The root of it has to be there. But yeah, I would say it's a lot more heavy music now, but it's music relating to my relationship with God because that's what my fans want to see. And who am I to say, no, y'all don't, I'm going to do something totally different. It's like, no, I'm going to chase what's working.
And that takes a lot of discipline though and self-control because a lot of people are like, this is what I want you to see. You're going to love it because I love it. So here it is. But that does not translate to anything. Like you said, you have been trying a lot of things, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, this click, this testimonial video just like shot up. And then you can kind of, that's your new filter. Everything kind of can point back to that, you know, whether it's a song, whether it's a personal, whatever it is, but that's like your main thing because that's what worked for right now, you know? And again, as you develop, but you're not being like, no, I don't want to be about that. That's just one part. Like, if you are blessed enough to get viral videos and reach a lot of people, millions of people, we have to be like, okay, God, this is how you want to use this to shine a light in this darkness. Because we know that TikTok, honestly, the first time I opened TikTok last year, I was like, dude, I'm not bye. Like this scares me, you know, like I didn't, but obviously that's not the whole story. We have to be a light in this dark world in general. And if social media, it's fine, but you are being aware of that and then building the rest around it, not just being stubborn and be like, no, I'm just going to do it once. And yeah, I love that, you know, posting multiple times the same video, you know, if it worked once, like that's how TikTok, it's all algorithm. Algorithm doesn't care if you post. I mean, I don't think you can post the same video 100 times in a row, but you can spice it in there. We've done that with a few videos and it's worked in the same way. So yeah. I love that. And two, not just making it all about trying different things. It's not like, okay, here's me playing a song. Here's me playing another song. Oh, this isn't working. I'm going to keep doing it until it works. It doesn't. Now there is something to be said to trying things more than once for sure. Yeah. But you also have to check the data. And that's the thing. Like you said, I love the testing terminology. Like every post is like testing to see what people are looking for from me and what works and just running with it when you find that thing and not just getting stuck, you know, because people, I think people get stuck. They're like, I'm going to do this and that's it. And then, oh, this app's stupid, you know?
Yeah.
No, because you can reach millions of people and from your phone.
It's truly incredible. I mean, at the beginning of the year, I was like, no more spending money on ads on Facebook and we're done. Because I've got this app where it's completely free. Like you as a small business owner, I can't see a reason why you wouldn't try to make TikTok work. Because I mean, I have proof. Like I uploaded Woman at the Well. I had 81 pre-saves. And that was just from pushing on my Instagram, social media. 2 days after that video going, like I had a minute of my music video go like semi-viral. 1900 pre-saves in 2 days. Major labels are asking for 1500. Like that's their target number. And it's like, okay, so now I'm able to start like getting data for if I do get signed by a label one day, it's like, here's the facts. Here's the songs you should push. Like here's where I see myself. And if this isn't where you see it, bye-bye. Like I've got information now where I'm like, no, this is what's working. Like there's nothing for you guys to have to test or this or that. It's like, we've got facts here. Like it's working. Mm-hmm. So get on board or not. But yeah, I mean, it's such a brilliant Wild West app right now that it's like, I mean, I saw this one woman do this really, really engaging thing. She told the kind of a plot line of this really engaging story. And she's like, if you want to know the ending, order my book now. And like literally her book skyrocketed. It's like, it is, if you can get people to help you. And I have a team, like, let's not be, this isn't all me. Like I have a digital manager who is so on his A game, and he has given me, he's like subscribing to all of these different TikTok analysts. And he's like, hey, okay, so do this today, do that today. Here's a trending thing. Like I got to the point where I needed help. So in order for me to be prolific, but also be able to like be in the studio and not stress out about TikTok and be engaged on other things. So definitely there are people, you need to like get people to help you because you can't do it alone.
I love that. So we've talked about, you know, Woman in the Well a bit, but I'd love for you to kind of, you know, talk about that song. I know that you just had another song come out, but just if you could kind of talk through Woman in the Well. You said, did you write it with Steve Fee or he produced it or what was that like?
Yeah. So I wrote the song with Jesse Reeves and Steve Fee.
Awesome.
And I mean, Jesse's like a force to be reckoned with in his own right.
The Reverend Reeves.
He is so wonderful. I love him to pieces. But Steve, I actually met doing season one of Songland, which we just became super fast friends because we would film during the day, but then all of the songwriters would be at the hotel bar, like after just talking about what they went through. And so me and Steve really resonated. And like we talked about, and I was so hungry to talk about Jesus at the time and he loves Jesus too. So I was just like, tell me everything, you know, like, let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about music industry, la, la, la. And 2 years go by and I knew that me and him would eventually create, but I think God needed to take me on a path to get more rooted and blah, blah, blah. Cause Steve's just been in his walk for a really long time. And we finally got a date on the books and, we wrote this one song called Lois Lane that's going to be on my record and it's going to be out in a few more months. But we had a second write and wrote with Jesse on Zoom because he lives in Austin. And I went to Steve and we wrote this. I came in with this idea because I had recently done a Bible study on the woman at the well. And simultaneously, I also think there's an amazing series called The Chosen that is on their season two right now. And it's a fantastic depiction of Jesus's life, finding his disciples. It is an incredible show. Every single believer should watch it. It's so wholesome and wonderful and fabulous. But that episode of season one, the last episode, that it's the story of the woman at the well. It's Jesus meeting the woman at the well. And so simultaneously, I was thinking on those things, watching those things, and really hearing about the woman at the well. And I was like, oh my goodness, like that is me. Like I resonate with the story so much. And I had this idea to write about it. So I brought it in and I was like, guys, I want to write a song about the woman at the well, but I know nothing about Christian music and I want to write it from just a real human standpoint that like, I'm broken, I'm flawed. Jesus met me in my mess. And that's the story. And they were like, we love it. So we wrote the song. We knew it was something special, but again, like it was such a pivot for me to be so bold about my love for Jesus. Like it had not been something I'd sing about. It really wasn't anything that I was kind of talking about either. So that song really changed everything for me because it was so natural. And for all the people I played it for, it resonated, even if they weren't believers. So I was like, this is really interesting. And then when it came out this year on April 9th, I mean, talk about a song that's like, it just keeps growing and taking on a life of its own and resonating. And it's just, I feel honored to be a vessel, to be honest. Mm. Like I just, like all of the hard times that I've been through are amounting to this song and this moment. And I'm just so blessed. Like I'm just so grateful that Jesus is in my life because I don't know. The song is just, it's taking on a life of its own. And I know it in my bones that this song is going to change things for me, but also just lead people to the Lord. It's like the coolest thing. I mean, I'm getting emails and messages and like, I can't even, like, it's too much for me to keep up with because people are searching for meaning. They're searching for what I have found in Jesus. They're searching for that peace and that joy. And, you know, it's just, it's a really, really interesting time for me right now because I'm just seeing a song again, kind of take on a life of its own. And I'm just so thankful. Just so thankful. I love Jesus so much.
So awesome. You know, it's like one of the famous quotes from Tony Wood. You know, it's the gift of songwriting is trying to tell the ancient truth through a fresh window, you know? And so that's exactly what you guys did. You know, because we all, you know, anybody who knows the Bible at all knows the woman at the well and maybe not even knows the Bible. It's a famous story in history, you know. So to be able to put legs to that, put melody to that and tell testimony through it, it's just like it's so well done, you know, and it doesn't surprise me because what a great team of writers. Geez, that's amazing. Yeah. You know, so it's no surprise to me that song is doing what it's doing and it's perfectly placed, you know, like we've been talking about, God's provision is just there. All of the things you've gone through, all the things you've done, all the social media stuff, everything is all kind of leading up to just propelling this song to reach out and, you know, touch the world, literally touch the world, not even in a cheesy way. Like it literally is able to do that. And so that's, you know, leading towards the record and then future records. And two, like you said, you have a bit of a internal struggle or whatever with the songs that aren't necessarily so God-centric on the record, but this is transitional for you too. Like that's life. So like not every song is going to be like, God is the best thing ever. And that's it. I mean, look at the Psalms. There's like some really sad, dark things there. So like that's how life goes, you know? So like people need that. It can't all, and I, honestly too, like I'm not hating on it, but a lot of times, especially older, like CCM, it's like everything was so happy. It was like, if I feel bad, I can't listen to it because I can't connect at all, you know? But you know,
it's like we're deconstructing and I feel blessed to be kind of maybe part of this movement, like deconstructing that perfect Christian, you know, like the church should not be for holier than thou people. The church should be for the sick. The church should be for the people who need to repent, who need to be surrounded in love. It should be for atheists. It should be for people like me who were very open and very curious and very, you know, like all the believers when I was going through my transition of like atheist to believer, every single believer in my life was just so loving. And I feel so grateful for that because they let me know that they love Jesus, but they didn't push it on me. They didn't say, you know, like, this, you must do this and shame on you. Like it, you know, it was like, it's just, I listening. And now as I'm starting to dive deeper into worship music, just because I'm kind of growing in my walk and I feel like I need that. I hear some songs and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. That's great. And then I hear some other songs that I'm like, really? Like that's big right now. Like that's like, I definitely there is a use for some worship songs like that. Mm-hmm. But what about all the broken people in the Bible? Mm. There are no perfect people in the Bible except Jesus. Like literally, yes. Like everyone is so flawed and so imperfect and so, and that's the point. Like what, how did we get here? Like, how did we get to this like holier than thou? Anyway, I could talk about it all day, but yeah. I feel blessed because I'm in this Bible study with women where they're undoing a lot of wrong teaching and they're relearning a lot. I mean, they're in their 50s and 60s. So they grew up in the church, but kind of grew up with like the shaming and the wounding of the church. And so now they're undoing a lot. And I'm learning a lot as they're undoing because I knew nothing. So I'm just like, as I'm learning about the Bible and getting rooted, I'm like, wait a minute. So what did you believe before? Or what were you taught? And they're like, well, I mean, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what? That's crazy. Like, that's just wild. But you know, we're human, we're flawed and we live in a broken world. So it's back to that.
Yeah. I mean, that's, we're walking in it. Right. And that's, and I love it because, you know, all of this too is fueling future music for you, you know, like, and not that you're harvesting your life just for songs, but I mean, I feel like real legit artists, it's songs in life are no different. It's an extension. It's just, you're encapsulating this moment in time of your life into good or bad, you know? So I feel like that is the real song writer, you know, artist. It's just, you're just literally sharing your life through your songs and you're doing that. So that's why it's resonating with people because there's no borders. There's nothing for them to fight through to get to you. They just have to listen. And this is where you are. This is who you are. And they probably connect because they're going through the same exact thing. So I totally get that. And I really appreciate, you know, your honesty in that. And I know that there's, you know, I know there's a lot of things, but I always ask people for a piece of advice to give to their younger selves. And I bet you there's a lot, but anything that comes to mind that you'd say to your younger self and anyone listening to encourage them on their journey?
Just take the time to figure out who you are and keep taking the next right step. I mean, I feel like so many people, I would get frustrated when people would say, just be yourself. And I'm like, I am, I'm doing it. Like, what do you mean? Like, I don't know what that means. Like, and as I've gone through just what I've gone through, being yourself takes so much work. It takes an insane amount of work. And so I understand why people stay in kind of their limited view of themselves because it's really hard work. It's really hard work to disassemble what you've thought about yourself for so long or the narratives you've been telling yourself of who you are and where you belong. And like you, there's so much access to a beautiful level of peace and understanding and joy. Not that life gets any easier, but it definitely gets more manageable the more rooted and truthful you become to yourself. So I would just say, get in therapy, learn about yourself, become best friends with yourself, because that's truly when everything started to shift for me because I realized I didn't know who I was. And how could you, like, in your, you know, some people are blessed and they know exactly who they are and la, la, la. But for me, like, I just was a mess. And so I leaned into the mess and I just tried to pick up the pieces as many as I could.
I mean, if we all were extremely self-aware, then I wouldn't hear from everyone that we all deal with the comparison issues because that's the result of not being ourselves. And I'm not, we all do it. I do it. We do it, you know, like, but that's a result of us worrying about, are we going to be cool enough because they're super cool. So I need to be like them or else what I do doesn't have any value. But like what you're saying is by figuring out who you are and whatever that takes, you know, therapy, you know, prayer, both, all, everything, you know, then the real thing comes out that people are actually craving, not your best version of that cool thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's the most important thing as a human being, but especially as an artist, because if you weren't doing that, Woman in the Well wouldn't exist, right?
Nope, not at all.
And it wouldn't have impacted all the people it's impacting. And even beyond that, your testimony video wouldn't have happened, you know, setting the trajectory, the opening the door for that, you know. And like you said, it's terrifying when all those crazy trolls are out there that, you know, especially in your big video where it's like they're fighting and it's like, what is happening in this, in the comments? This is scary, you know.
I'm like, wait a minute, I'm happier in my life. What is the problem here? I'm delusional and I'm on drugs? What? Yeah. Okay.
But even with that, like they're drawn, because I feel like we're all drawn to God, whether we know it or not, atheists, Satanists, whatever it is, we all know that's the thing, but we try to fight it, you know?
Yep.
And so those people are showing up in your comments and battling whatever they're doing. But ultimately it's because they're drawn to the truth that you spoke at the beginning and starting that whole conversation. So that's just what we got to keep doing, right?
Exactly. Be a light in a dark world.
Bam, mic drop.
Mic drop.
Yeah, bam. I wish I could have sound effects. I guess I could act.
You need like the bam, bam, bam.
The hog horn or whatever it's called. The trill horn, that's what it's called. Yeah, this has been great. It's been awesome to connect. And like we talked about before, you know, it really is a small world. You always hear that. But truthfully, I mean, we talked about knowing probably 10 people. We didn't even try. So of the same
it's
people.
Wonderful.
So yeah, it's awesome how God does that. But as people want to connect with you, as I'm sure they will, like what social media platforms do you hang out on? And then, you know, Woman at the Well, you said a new song come out too. So, you know, feel free to promote yourself and let people know they connect with you.
Yes. So you can go follow me at Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Olivia Lane Music. I preferably like TikTok if you really want to get to know me, because I'm just a crazy person on there. But yeah, I mean, olivialane.com, you'll find links to my music on all of my social media pages. And yeah, I'm coming out with a song every month. It was every 2 weeks, but that became a little crazy. But I'm having a new record called Heart Change out to later this year, like September 2021. So heart at work in the studio, getting all those songs done. But I'll be coming out with a song every month. So just came out with Sweet Sister, and Woman at the Well was right before that. So go check it out. Olivia Lane on Spotify.
Wherever you listen to music, Olivia's there. So awesome. I'll link all that below too. Yeah. She's waiting for you to listen. So you better go do it.
Yeah. Come on. And then DM me and let's have a convo.
There it is. There's your invitation, people. Take her up on it.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
Yeah, this has been great. And before we go, I always like to pray over everybody. So I'm going to pray for you before we go. God, thank you so much for Olivia. Thank you so much for her heart and her vulnerability and her just openness to following where you're leading, God. And like we talked about a bunch, you know, that's not always pretty, God. And there's some dark days and there's some crazy things that happen, God. But ultimately, that's what life is. So as we continue to walk towards you, God, just clear the path for her. And like we talked about, illuminate those lanes that you're looking for her to reach people through, God, whether it's through the TikTok videos or whatever. We know that you're in control of everything, even the TikTok algorithm, God. So let those things continue to go out and impact people for you, God, as she's going through a journey and sharing openly with people, that they will come to know you through her music, her personality, and everything that she's doing, God. We thank you for this conversation today, and we pray that it brings light and encouragement to others. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
We want to help reach as many Christian indie artists and songwriters as possible. And one way we can do that is with your help. So if you could take a minute and leave us a review on iTunes, that would be so appreciated. This is how the iTunes algorithm will push this content out to more and more Christian indie artists and songwriters. So like I said, if you could just take a couple seconds, leave us a review, that would be so awesome. It means so much to us, and we would really appreciate it.